Good evening. Welcome to the 12th installment of Let's Rock and Roll. I'm your host, DJ Treble, and I'm glad to be back jamming out to some classic rock with you all on Friday nights now. We're going to commit to Friday nights on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. You know the drill by now. Even if you don't, you'll pick it up quite quickly. I talk a lot about rock and roll, band, or an artist every week for an hour to share my useless classic rock knowledge. Today's subject is a childhood favorite. He has more than 50 top 40 hits to his name, 7 consecutive number one albums, and over 300 million records sold. He's none other than the Rocket Man himself, Sir Elton John. Well, all legendary rock stars get their start somewhere. Elton John's no different. He was born Reginald Kenneth Dwight on March 25th, 1947 in Middlesex, England. John began to seriously consider his music career at age 17, as his parents were record enthusiasts, even his father performed in a band playing trumpet. Particularly, the parents exposed him to Elvis Presley and Bill Haley and the Comets in 1956. And like any kid back then, when you heard rock and roll, you were immediately inspired. Well, Elton started playing the piano at age 3, and by age 7, he enrolled in formal piano lessons. He pretty much became like a child prodigy by age 11 because he was rewarded a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music for piano. Well, the piano became an escape for John, whose home life was pretty difficult. His parents divorced when he was 14, and his father just had no interest in raising the boy, so his mother and stepfather would help Elton John land a job as a weekend pianist at a nearby pub, performing popular songs and originals under the name Reggie. In 1962, John and his friends formed Bluesology, Elton's first real band. The group would be opening acts for American soul and R&B artists like Isley Brothers and Patti LaBelle. In 1966, Bluesology became blues singer Long John Baldry's supporting band, who was a local British kind of blue-eyed soul sort of performer, but yeah. 1967, Elton answers an advertisement for songwriters, and he meets his fellow lyricist Bernie Taupin, finally becoming the famous partnership of Elton John and Bernie Taupin. They would team up and become just one of the best duos in rock and roll, and they're still working together today. Well, Bernie would write the lyrics, usually in under an hour, mail them to Elton, who would write the corresponding music, usually in a half hour, discarding lyrics if Elton couldn't come up for the music for it. And like I said, they're still doing it today. Same method, same everything. Well, Elton John officially renames himself as Elton John in 1967, paying tribute to Bluesology saxophonist Elton Dean and his mentor, Long John Baldry. These were just two formative figures in his early career. Bernie and Elton would write lyrics and music for various artists before they started doing their own thing. And Elton would actually be a session musician, notably playing piano on the Hollies' He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. In 1969, Elton releases his first debut album, Empty Sky. The following year, he releases his eponymous follow-up album, featuring Elton's first two hits, Border Song and Your Song, the song you heard in the intro tonight. The latter reaching number 7 on the UK charts and number 8 in the US. Elton performs his first American tour in August 1970 in Los Angeles. Following the tour, Elton releases his third album, Madman Across the Water, in 1971. Hit songs such as the title track, Leave On, and Tiny Dancer appear on this album in the very beginning. And this is where Madman Across the Water is a very strong album with its first side. And the first half of the album is just where all the hits are, so that explains it. But the second half, to me, is not very good. It's not one of his strongest suits, but except for one song that I will play for you tonight. This little gem found on this album, one of my personal favorite Elton John songs, always has, always will. The composition of the music is just amazing to me, and I think you're going to enjoy this too. Staying true to my rule of avoiding playing the hits and the well-known songs, because you can listen to any FM radio station for that. So here's a little tune I like to call, they call All the Nasties on Let's Rock and Roll.
What could I tell them? Would they criticize?
This is DJ Treble, and you're listening to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. Madman Across the Water, that's a little loud, there we go. Madman Across the Water would be the first album to showcase the Elton John Band, or the most famous lineup of his backing band. The musician's most recognized lineup is Elton John on piano, Davey Johnstone on guitar, Dee Murray on bass, and Nigel Olsen on drums. Percussionist Ray Cooper is the final main member of this band, joining in 1972 on John's next album, Honky Chateau. This album would reach number one in the United States, beginning the streak of 7 consecutive U.S. number one albums. Singles you can find on this album are Rocket Man, I think it's going to be a long time, and Honky Cat. Early 1973's Don't Shoot Me, I'm the Only Piano Player is John's first pop-focused album, producing hits like Crocodile Rock and Daniel. But late 1973 was the release of John's most famous and arguably best album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. The hits on this album are nearly endless, with Candle in the Wind, Benny and the Jets, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. You can't really listen to one bad song off this album, and there's 17 songs, so it's definitely a good way to spend an afternoon. You'll hear these 4 songs just guaranteed on any classic rock station when discussing Elton John, so if you're expecting me to play Benny and the Jets tonight, you will be sorely disappointed. I'm very sorry. Well, the popularity of this album solidified Elton John as an international rock star. In 1974, John performs his own, he forms his own record label, the Rocket Record Company, and he's signing acts such as Kiki D, who would duet with him on the karaoke classic Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Also in 1974, Elton collaborates with John Lennon. John Lennon appeared on the album on his cover of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, while Elton is featured on Lennon's Whatever Gets You Through the Night. It was kind of a little deal between them. Elton will also perform at Lennon's final major concert at Madison Square Garden later that year, performing I Saw Her Standing There with John Lennon. 1974 also saw the release of John's next album, Caribou, spawning the hits The Biatch Is Back and Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I decided to censor myself on that song, but yeah, I think you can get the word. Well, 1975 proves to be another big year for Elton John. He appeared in the film Tommy, the rock opera created by The Who, as the local lad, and he performs Pinball Wizard, which is the most famous song off of that album. He also released his next album, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. This album is John's first conceptual album, detailing his and Bernie's struggles in the early years of his musical career. This is kind of the first album where he actually kind of reveals a little bit about himself, almost like an autobiography, which is very different in contrast to his other first 10 albums or so. Well, the album's written in chronological order, with the photo booklet showcasing the specific place and time each song corresponds with. Well, you're going to hear Noble track off this album, Someone Saved My Life Tonight. I used to hate this song, but as of recent, I've really embraced it, so I'm kind of excited to play this. Well, the song tells the story of Elton's engagement to then-girlfriend Linda Woodrow in 1969. While living together in the East End of London, Elton develops serious doubts about the prospective marriage, and he contemplates committing suicide. His friend and mentor Lon John Baldry talks him out of killing himself, convincing Elton to not sacrifice his music career for an unhappy marriage. Baldry is the someone John mentions in the song, and it's just an Elton masterpiece. Here's Someone Save My Life Tonight on Let's Rock and Roll.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights, curtains drawn in the little room downstairs. Prima donna, Lord, you really should have been there, sitting like a princess perched in her electric chair. And just one more beer, and I don't hear you anymore. We've all gone crazy lately. My friends out there rolling round the basement floor. Ooh. Someone saved my life tonight, sugar babe.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Treble. After the release of Captain Fantastic, the core lineup of the Elton John band disbands and changes so many times I can't keep track, nor do I particularly want to. Later that year, John releases Rock of the Westies, his first nearly rock album. Hits from this album that you can find are Island Girl, Grow Some Funk of Your Own, and I Feel Like a Bullet in the Gun of Robert Ford. Elton's image changes as well, or should I say, enhances his personality? Well, most people know Elton John by his flamboyant costumes and his larger-than-life theatrical stage performance. Well, he begins to dress like the Elton John you would expect him to dress around this time. Flamboyant costumes for concerts include ostrich feathers, the Statue of Liberty, Donald Duck, Mozart, just to name a few, all topped with $5,000 worth of spectacles spelling out his name, because go big or go home. After 5 years of just unstoppable fame, Elton receives a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Also, to celebrate 5 years, Elton creates a brilliant marketing ploy. He returns to Los Angeles, where he performed his first U.S. concert, which is why I mentioned it earlier, just kind of stuffed it in there. Well, he plays 4 shows at this venue for 2 nights. Seating was limited to 500 people, so the tickets were sold via postcard lottery, because this is the 1970s. And each winner were allowed 2 tickets, just randomly selected. Those who were lucky enough to attend received a hardbound yearbook of the band's history and some of Elton's best performance that you could possibly deliver. Or at least I would think so. Well, to cap off 1975, Elton appeared on Soul Train, being one of the first and few white artists to appear, another being last week's artist David Bowie. Well, we're going to enter 1976 with a song off of John's next album, Blue Moves. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. A song about mourning a failed relationship, I'm going to make you cry by listening to this song. So I'm just going to sob in the corner, and I'm going to have you guys listen to Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word on Let's Rock and Roll.
Thank you. siren seems to be the hardest word.
Pausing for station identification. This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Currently, you are listening to Let's Rock and Roll, and I'm your host, DJ Treble. I hope you're enjoying this hour tribute to Elton John. I know I am. Well, this is around the time period 1970-1976. It was Elton John's best and most commercially successful, but he was also producing a bunch of content, at least two albums every year. Well, John's biggest success in 1976 is the classic duet with Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Everyone knows this song, and if you don't, you're lying. In his personal life, Elton comes out as bisexual in an interview with Rolling Stone, the beginning of the talk about his sexual orientation. Now he's just completely comfortable with it now, but back then it was obviously taboo. But first, let's take a minute to reflect on the past 6 years of Elton's career thus far. It's unprecedented how much this man accomplished. Seven consecutive number one albums in the U.S. between 1972 and 1975. That's never happened before. Not only was he one of the biggest acts in music, he was also one of the best. In 1977, John announces his temporary retirement from performing as Bernie begins to collaborate with other musicians. Elton releases his first album without Bernie, 1978's A Single Man. Replaced by Gary Osborne as the songwriter, the album produces no singles in the U.S. No Bernie, not as much success. Coincidence? I think not. In 79, Elton becomes one of the first Western artists to perform in the Soviet Union and the first in Israel. 1979's Victim of Love is a disco-sounding Elton John that fails horribly on the charts. 1979 was also the year producer Tom Bell encourages John to sing at a lower register, a turning point for John musically. Well, Elton and Bernie are reunited in this year as well, but they won't collaborate like the old times until 1983. Elton releases his 1980 album 21 at 33, which puts Elton's career back on the map with his first hit in 4 years, Little Jeannie. John releases a couple more albums in the early 80s, The Fox and Jump Up. He also reunites the classic Elton John band lineup for a free concert in Central Park in 1980, performing for 400,000 fans. Now that the band's back together, Elton releases his chart-returning album, 1983's Too Low for Zero, including hits like I Guess That's Why They Call It the Blues, and the next song on the show, I'm Still Standing. One of my personal favorites just to dance to. A little bit of trivia about this song, though. The incredibly campy music video features Bruno Tognoli, which, if you watch a bunch of reality TV, you would know him as one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars. Love that show, love him, but we're not talking about Dancing with the Stars, you're talking about the song. So here's I'm Still Standing on Let's Rock and Roll at radio.dominican.edu.
Still standing.
Welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll with DJ Treble. This hour, we've been listening to Elton John, if obviously. But currently, there's no better way for me to spend this hour. Elton creates controversy in October 1983 when he performed in South Africa, breaking the United Nations cultural boycott on apartheid in the country, which is obviously in England, as I mentioned in, I believe, the Queen's show last semester. That was a pretty big deal to perform in South Africa or even be opposed to apartheid because England didn't want anything to do with it. I don't quite remember, but it was taboo. Well, he married close friend Renee Blauwel, I butchered that, on Valentine's Day 1984, lasting 3 years. He performed at Live Aid at Wembley in 1985, playing Benny and the Jets and Rocket Man, followed by Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Kiki Dee and Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with George Michael. He would release another album that same year, Breaking Hearts, featuring the hit Sad Songs Say So Much. In 1986, Elton's voice was lost while on tour in Australia. After undergoing throat surgery, several non-cancerous polyps were found and removed from his vocal cords, resulting in the permanent change of his singing voice, which is why you can't really expect him to sing like Benny and the Jets in that high voice again, or even Crocodile Rock, because it's impossible for him. So that's why his voice sounds drastically different than now. Well, more controversy in 1987, the tabloid The Sun published false allegations of Elton John having sex with teenage male prostitutes, and he sued them successfully. That's a really awkward segue now that I think about it. Well, you'll learn through further stories in the rest of the show that you should never mess with Elton John. He continues to produce hits in the 80s, such as Nikita and That's What Friends Are For with Dionne Warwick, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder. The latter raised funds for AIDS research, something John has been passionate about for the past few decades. Entering the 90s, John lands another hit single, Sacrifice, off the album Sleeping with the Past. In April of 92, Elton pays tribute to his good friend Freddie Mercury at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert, performing The Show Must Go On with the rest of Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody with Queen and Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses. Elton John gains a younger audience with the best Disney movie ever, according to the pretentious radio DJ of this program, The Lion King. Seriously, best movie ever. He teams up with Tim Rice to write the songs for the film, such as Can You Feel the Love Tonight, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, and the next song on the show, Circle of Life. I actually just checked the album version that I got, and it does not have the quintessential, nah, yeah, that intro. It doesn't have it in the song, so I'm very disappointed, but still a great song, and there's no way I wasn't going to find an excuse to play Disney on a rock and roll show. So thank you, Elton John. So go lift the nearest animal or anything high in the sky like Rafiki does, especially epically with Simba, and listen to The Circle of Life on Let's Rock and Roll on radio.dominican.edu. Rock and rollers and hopefully some Disney fans. Glad to have you back on Let's Rock and Roll with the one and only Disney fan, now that you know, DJ Treble. I really hope I gained a bigger audience because I love Disney almost as much as I love rock and roll. And that's a lot, in case you haven't picked up on that. Well, now I just want to go watch The Lion King, but I got a show to do. So next 20 minutes, let's just conquer through talking about Elton John so I can get to watching Disney. Well, okay, The Lion King soundtrack is a massive success for Elton, especially within a younger audience, like I said. That's also Circle of Life, and just this whole period in general is the first kind of inkling of his lower singing voice, which is, when I first heard it, I thought it was a completely different guy, but nope, no it's not. Well, 1994, Elton John is inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and in 1997, on his 50th birthday, Elton dresses up as Louis XIV for 500 friends and performs with Queen in Paris, because that's what everyone does on their 50th birthday, am I right? Well, tragedy struck Elton that same year twice. His good friend Gianni Versace, the fashion designer, is murdered, while his other good friend Princess Diana dies in the infamous car crash in Paris. Deeply affected by the loss of Princess Diana, Elton requested Bernie to rewrite Candle in the Wind in tribute to Diana. The song was originally a tribute to Marilyn Monroe. He performs the new version at Princess Diana's funeral on September 6, 1997 in Westminster Abbey. The song, released as Candle in the Wind 1997, becomes the fastest and biggest selling single in UK chart history with 33 million copies. He would never perform this song again, unless by the request of Diana's sons, William and Harry, but so far not the case, so we'll probably never hear him perform this song again. Well, Elton would finish off the 90s with more collaborations, including Tim Rice again for the Disney musical Aida, Written in the Stars with Leanne Rimes, and I Know the Truth with Janet Jackson. Going into the new century in 2000, Elton teams up again with Tim Rice for the third time to create songs for the DreamWorks film The Road to El Dorado, which is a great movie, also says the pretentious radio DJ of this program. Yeah, this is going to turn to a movie show, and I'm just going to rattle on movies you should watch. Well, oh well. 2001, John teams up with rapper Eminem performing Stan. Elton also performs a duet of Your Song with Billy Joel at the concert for New York City 1 month following the 9/11 attacks. Elton and Bernie attempt their own theatrical project called Lestat, the musical, based on the Anne Rice vampire novels. It, well, failed, because Elton John can't do everything. It only ran 39 shows before closing in 2006, and it started that year too, so. Elton John takes Vegas by storm in October 2003, signing an exclusive deal to perform 75 shows over 3 years at Caesar's Palace, called the Red Piano. Celine Dion was also performing exclusive shows in Vegas as most of, well, I'm not going to say washed up artists, but those kind of on the older circuit tend to do just to remain relevant and, you know, get that income. They perform in Vegas. Well, Celine and Elton would actually alternate nights at Caesar's Palace. One would perform while the other one had the night off. He and Dion would actually perform together in February 2006 to raise money for the Hurricane Katrina relief effort, singing Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word and Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. For Elton's 60th birthday, he performed his record-breaking 60th show at Madison Square Garden, continuing to be a must-see performer live to this day. I actually do want to see him live, and I remember last time I looked up tickets, somehow he always plays in Vegas around my birthday, which is in mid-October if anyone's wondering. And I actually did look up how much tickets were, just even for your nosebleed seats, for lack of better description. $500 a piece. I don't have that. Oh well. Elton participated in other memorable performances in the 2010s. Lady Gaga at the 2010 Grammys, Ed Sheeran at the 2013 Grammys, and the fourth wedding of conservative talk show host slash snake of a human being Rush Limbaugh for $1 million. I am actually impressed he took $1 million to perform at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. Even if it was $1 billion, I would personally still hesitate. Well, this isn't a political show. Well, in Elton's new show, the Million Dollar Piano at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace is way bigger than the Red Piano, and he was performing the show for just another 3 years. Actually, just a few weeks ago, on February 5th, John released his 32nd album, Wonderful Crazy Night. In honor, I'm playing the title track for the very first time on Penguin Radio and my ears. I did this last week with David Bowie's Black Star. I will play a song on the radio that I've never heard before. So we're going to listen to it together. This is Wonderful Crazy Night on Let's Rock and Roll.
Ice cubes on the back of your neck. Blowing through the parking lot. Radio humming in every car. And it feels like the clocks have stopped. Calypso moon just cast its spell. We grabbed that magic just because. We remember and never forget. What a wonderful crazy night that was. Some things you don't forget, some things just take a hold. Oh, wonderful crazy night like that, takes you back, won't let you go. Someday, if you ask it all about the key to love, I'll say that wonderful night, what wonderful crazy night it was. Loose clothes and a cool. Every hand.
Okay, Elton, I see you. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed that. I mostly enjoyed that that was a 3-minute song on, like, David Bowie's, which when I found out when I listened to Black Star was 9.5 minutes. I wasn't really cool on that, but no, I really, really like that. I also really like that Elton John's still making music, and he said so if you saw the Late Late Show with James Corbin when he was doing the car karaoke with him, which is a must watch. Elton was talking about how he wanted to keep moving forward, never wants to look back, so he never wants to be a nostalgia act just playing the hits all the time, constantly talking about Goodbye Yellow Brick Road or something like that. He wants to keep making music, and if he's going to make music, he's going to make whatever he wants. And so that's a good example, and aw, yay, I really like that. Okay, well, welcome back to Let's Rock and Roll on Penguin Radio. This is your host, DJ Treble, your really happy host, DJ Treble. Well, we're wrapping things up here on the 12th installment of the show tonight. I'm a little sad because I like talking about Elton John. Well, this has been a nice tribute to him, and his music career is amazing. I think we can all admit to that. Elton John has also been a prominent figure in pop culture and societal issues. Basically, always, needs an audience and needs to be center attention, obviously, but most of it has been pretty good. As I mentioned earlier, Elton's sexual orientation has been a major identifier of his. Well, he finally came to terms by officially coming out of the closet in 1988, and he's been working it ever since and has no shame about it, so, obviously. Well, he met his current husband, David Furnish, in 1993, and he formed a civil partnership on December 21st, 2005. That was also the day the Civil Partnership Act was passed in the UK, so it made it legal for gay couples to at least form a civil partnership and that sort of thing, but not marriage. Marriage actually became legal in England in 2014. So, pretty much right after that, on the anniversary of the Civil Partnership Act Day, they got married. So, yay! And now they have 2 kids, Zachary, 5, and Elijah, who's 3. And they're adorable. They're a great little family. Well, in 2010, Elton spoke out against certain Christian groups in terms of LGBT rights. He pretty much described Jesus as, and I quote, compassionate, super intelligent gay man who understood human problems. I mean, you're really going to argue with that? Well, obviously, if you're part of the Christian group. Needless to say, the worshipers did not appreciate that one, especially associating Jesus with anything as a gay man. Didn't quite like that. Well, he was originally opposed to gay marriage, preferring civil partnerships, not quite kind of wanting the same. I don't know why he didn't support gay marriage. I think it's just because of the attitude. I don't know. Well, he changed his attitude in 2012, and he supports gay marriage in the United Kingdom, even saying Jesus would have supported same-sex marriage in 2014. So, why not? Well, in 2013, Elton further defended LGBT rights by criticizing the LGBT propaganda law in Russia, which kind of came into prominence the year before the Sochi Olympics, where Russia's very homophobic and absolutely cruel laws against gay propaganda of sorts. Elton called this inhumane and isolating, which is spot on. Well, since then, President Vladimir Putin has reached out to Elton, attempting to show that there's no gay discrimination in Russia. No, gays are perfectly accepted in Russia as they're being beaten to death and forced to hide their identity. No, but they're totally accepted. It's fine. And never mind that Putin is pretty much a borderline, dictator. But no, not a political show. No, gays are accepted in Russia. Just according to Putin, gays are accepted in Russia. And obviously he's a trusted source, right? Okay, well, I'm getting off tangent and a tiny bit angry. So back to Elton. Well, Elton John was not buying it. And so obviously being a role model in the LGBT community, Elton John has also dedicated himself to his own AIDS foundation beginning in 1986. Obviously, because he himself admitted to partaking in unprotected sexual activities. So when the AIDS virus came to prominence, he was lucky to not be diagnosed, but now he wants to obviously spread awareness because, well, a lot of people became this way after Freddie Mercury. Well, he's done a lot to raise money for AIDS medication and basically treatment. So his AIDS charities, after the death of his friend Ryan White, who he met in Florida in like late 80s, he died in 1990, and his good friend Freddie Mercury, and he's raised millions of dollars towards AIDS research in the forms of just parties, charity events that he himself hosts, and I don't know, he just raises a bunch of money, so go him. Well, earlier in the show, I said that it's not smart to mess with Elton John. Well, to end this show on a gossipy note, because this is now turning more to a tabloid show than a legitimate rock and roll show, I have to mention Elton's feuds, for lack of a better term. I admire him for never hiding his opinions. Obviously, I can totally respect a celebrity who does that. But the feud he has with Madonna, this is classic. This is everything I actually love reading about in the universe. No shame. So let's just take a minute or two just to talk about that. It all began in November 2002, where Elton criticized Madonna's theme song for the 007 film Die Another Day. He called it the worst Bond tune ever, and the fight begins. Well, claiming himself to be a big fan of Madonna, he isn't shy to slam her either, probably because she doesn't sound anything like a virgin anymore, and is kind of a nostalgia act. Well, okay. So he isn't shy to criticize her because obviously being a big fan, you get really disappointed when one of your favorite artists does crappy music. Well, in October 2004, John called out Madonna when he saw that she was being nominated for Best Live Act at the Q Awards in London. And I quote, "Since when has lip syncing been live? Anyone who lip syncs in public on stage when you pay £75 to see them should be shot." Well, okay, yeah, that's a little extreme, but we can't accuse Elton John of being subtle, am I right? Well, Madonna, or rather her publicist, because Madonna's never actually commented herself on any of these kind of comments that John has made against her, the publicist responds with, "Madonna does not lip sync, nor does she spend her time trashing other artists." No, she spends time trying to revive her career where she just retired. Oh, did I say that? Oh, sorry. But anyway, it's getting good. It's getting pretty good. Elton apologizes for the comments made, but is again in August 2005, where he commented to the Daily Telegraph about Madonna returning his Christmas cards. Well, Madonna seemed to be still a little salty about the lip-syncing comments by the end of 2005, rejecting John's invitation to perform at him and David Furnish's bachelor party. I mean, come on. If you get asked to perform at Elton John's bachelor party, that's kind of awesome. She's salty. Elton supposedly told his guests, Madonna, the miserable cow, wouldn't do it. So, you know, Elton was a little salty about that too. Just a lot of saltiness going on. Well, Madonna, again, more her publicist, she retorted with well wishes and hopes married life will make him a happier person. Well, I mean, yeah, he's happy in his marriage, obviously. Well, or based on what we see, we're going to assume he's happy. He definitely looks happy, but smackdown! Ooh! Well, the tension settles for the 6 years until February 2011, where it's revived as Elton just didn't shut up about the lip-syncing Madonna. The climactic event, the main attraction, everything you paid no money to hear, but you're going to hear anyway, is in January 2012 at the Golden Globes. Dun-dun-dun. Elton John and Madonna were both nominated for Best Original Song prior to the awards. Elton commented to Carson Daly, who was doing the interviews, obviously before the actual award ceremony, that Madonna had no effing chance of winning the award. And it turns out she did, and more of a chance, and I mean she won the Golden Globe for Best Original Song. Elton John was pretty peeved about this, but not as much as his husband. He blasted Madonna in a private message on Facebook, of course, because it's 2012, because Facebook was huge back then. Well, he wrote, "Madonna, best song, F off." He later said that her winning Best Original Song truly shows how these awards have nothing to do with merits. Oh, this is getting pretty, wow, okay. And her criticism of Lady Gaga shows how desperate she is. Let's just trash Madonna, why don't we? Well, to end the feud for now, Elton calls Madonna a fairground stripper and a disaster of a performer. That's a little blatant end, but yeah, that's all I got. Granted, like I said, Madonna does need to call it quits. The stuff she's releasing now, I can't believe she's actually releasing new music. It's very desperate sounding. It's like a 50-year-old trying to act 25. It's not. It's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. Just stick to the nostalgia act, Madonna. Just stick with it. Well, let's not remember Elton John as the sassy Madonna slammer. We're going to remember him as the legendary rock star with songs that bring people together and are always a joy to listen to. We're going to remember him as one of my favorite artists of all time. So, Elton John, much love. Forever going to listen to your music. Keep doing you. Well, that concludes tonight's show. Don't forget to check out all of our other DJs at radio.dominican.edu. I really hope you enjoyed this hour about Elton John tonight. This is DJ Treble signing off with a good track off of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because it would be committing rock and roll blasphemy if I didn't play anything off of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Well, this is my personal favorite song, Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding. It's the first track off the album, and it really sets up the tone for kind of his musical mastery of sorts. Well, have a good life, and keep listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Go Pangs!